Hello, my gorgeous queens and kings. Welcome to another episode of Girls Talk with Nicole. So for my new newbies, somebody who's maybe listening to this episode as the very first episode ever, let me introduce myself real quick. My name is Nicole and I am your main host of this podcast. And a funny thing, or a little fun fact, I would say, this is actually quite special episode that you're listening, because let me tell you why. First of all, I am not recording a video with this episode. I've been super busy and I've been slacking. Last week I haven't posted an episode, so I was like, okay, let me just choose the fast route and record an audio file for you guys and upload it, because I know that some of you miss me. I got some messages from people asking about new episodes, so I was like, okay, let's just record an audio file. Also, second of all, I am not going to edit this file. I'm just going to upload it raw. So basically, y'all just getting a longest ever voice message from your bestie. You know how some people send like 12 minutes messages on WhatsApp? Well, there you go. You're going to get like a 30 minute one. And I hope that you enjoy my rambling and bumbling about life and some interesting stuff. But also, to be very honest, I'm slightly nervous about this episode because, so basically what I usually do is that when I record it, like I said, I do record a video and audio, and then I upload unedited raw version on YouTube, the video one. So usually it's longer and there are like all pauses, mistakes and whatever in it. But when it comes to audio file, I actually do edit it. So I cut out too long pauses. And when I repeat myself too much, I also cut it out. And, you know, for instance, when I listen to it, I get a little bit annoyed when I hear myself breathing in, like you probably will hear now. I hope it doesn't drive you nuts. And another thing is that I sometimes caught myself while editing my audio file, is that I smack my lips sometimes. And also, my microphone is such a great quality that you can even hear me swallowing my saliva. So I hope that you're enjoying all this extra ASMR sounds. And if you don't enjoy them, I promise to you guys that I will do my best to manage my time a little bit better and create some time to edit. Actually, to be honest, I would love to hear some feedback. What do you think? Like, whether you think that unedited audio is really much more annoying or worse, or you actually are like, girl, if you didn't tell me, I wouldn't even have see the difference, and it's just fine like this. Because I do admit editing actually takes some time. Also, another different thing for today is that it's a solo episode. I'm literally in my bed. It's like midnight. And yeah, I was like, okay, let me talk to my bestie. So it's like a little bit of a meeting in my bed. After I record this episode and upload it, I'm going to go straight to bed. I mean, actually, I am in bed, so I'm just going to go straight to sleep, to La La Land. And like I said, it's a solo episode, so today I'm alone. None of my friends is with me. Because I do admit, actually, I really enjoy recording episodes with my friends. Because, yeah, obviously, it's more cozy. I wanted to say this Dutch word. It is gewoon gezellig. But yeah, today it's a solo episode, and this episode is also going to be about a little bit more personal stuff. So I always tell you guys, I love talking about dating and I love dating tea, but today we are going to take a break from dating type of content and we are actually going to talk about something else. So let me tell you what we're going to talk about. We are going to talk about me looking for a job. So if you follow me on Instagram, you might know that I'm looking for a job. And I'm also going to tell you why in a second as well. I'm going to tell you a little bit about freelance depression, which I actually have been slightly experiencing. So we are going to discuss that, what I've learned about it and what I experience when it comes to this. And then I'm going to share with you some tips on looking for a job that my friends have shared with me, and some of them proved to be effective. I can't vouch for them yet because I haven't gotten my dream job yet. But yeah, stay tuned. And I guess we will see in a couple of weeks or maybe even months, because y'all, finding like a proper job can take some serious time. Let me tell you that. I'll get back to that later. But that's also one thing that I have learned and seems to be truth. So those are the topics that we're going to be discussing today. I'm pretty sure that this is already enough for quite a long episode, and I don't want to be boring you for too long. But there was also another topic that I wanted to discuss, which is being stressed, because it is a little bit connected to all this situation that's happening right now with the job seeking thing. And some time ago, I did ask you guys, what do you do when you stress, especially if you don't have a particular hobby that can help you take your mind off the stress. And a lot of you shared some cool tips, but I think I'll leave that for the next episode, because otherwise this episode is going to be way too long. So let's see how it goes. So yeah, this is the menu for today, I would say. Well, so like I said, your girly is looking for a job. And well, you might ask yourself, why, girl? Because it looks like you're so successful. The events are going great, and the retreat, and the merch, and your YouTube channel, online courses, blah, 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 blah. Well, yes, it's going fine. But let me be honest with you. And also, maybe it's actually a really interesting insight and news for some of y'all, because I know that some people out there think that I'm making bang and that I am, yeah, just rich. But the sad truth is that, girl, hell no. Like, I'm comparing to how much effort and work I'm putting in everything I do, all the events, merch, all the online courses, my YouTube channel, I maybe might make, like, I don't know, €2 an hour. And I'm not even kidding you guys, because I basically work nonstop. And the costs of events, especially, and the retreats are so huge that from the retreat, basically the one that I'm organizing now, I'm not making anything. I really hope that at least I will come out on zero, that I won't have to add on things. Because, yeah, if you want to organize a quality experience, you have to spend money, you have to pay people for things. So this is something that I have experienced last year and a half. And of course, it is growing and I'm very happy with my success. But right now we are more in investment period of the growth of this company. So I haven't been making enough money at all. And I have been working my ass off, you guys. So yeah, basically, last few weeks have been very heavy financially. Okay, maybe not so heavy, but they have been stressful, and also mentally. And unfortunately, because, you know, last year was very huge and different for my company comparing to previous years, I wasn't ready that my yearly tax is going to get so much bigger than it usually does. And my bad, I didn't put all the money aside. I also made some mistakes that cost me money. So right now I'm having to pay loads, like almost €10,000 yearly tax, which is very, very stressful. So that's the financial aspect that makes me want to get a job, but that's not the only one. So basically, I do really want to have a job to also bring back a little bit of structure in my life, have some pension plan, get some security, or like mainly financial one, but also get some inspiration from outside, expand my network, and yeah, just expand my horizons and gain some new experience that can, like I just said, inspire me, but also maybe open some opportunities for the future. And the reasons that are for me to get a new job are also very connected to what I just told you about. I will tell you a little bit about as well, is the freelance depression. So let me tell you like immediately about it, since I just mentioned it. So basically, I heard about it on the podcast, I think the Millionaire CEO podcast thing. He spoke about it there. And then my therapist also has mentioned this to me. I mean, basically what she mentioned to me is that she does think that me getting a part-time, specifically job, would be maybe a good idea, because recently it seems like I'm going through a little bit of a pre-burnout situation, which might result in full-blown burnout. And we don't want that. We don't have money for that. We don't have time for that. And we definitely are not planning to go there. So freelance depression and burnout are actually slightly connected because, let me read you the definition. Freelance depression refers to the feelings of sadness, anxiety, or low motivation that can arise from the unique challenges faced by a freelancer. Because, you know, unlike like the traditional employees, freelancers often work from home alone. There is no consistent income. You don't really have job security. And other than that, you always have to juggle different roles. Like you have to be your own marketer. You have to do your client relationships. You also have to manage your finances and invoices. So that can lead to a lot of stress and feeling of isolation. And I definitely have been experiencing that, like the isolation feeling, because, you know, I most of the times work alone. Sometimes I'm trying to go to a coffee house to be surrounded by people and just be, you know, in some sort of social setting, but still you get this sense of loneliness and sense of disconnection from social circles. Other than that, like I just mentioned, the financial insecurity is a very big thing. Like 1 month can be a great month, but then there's no workshops. The tickets for the workshops are not selling. During holidays, there were less people in the classes, which also resulted in less money. And I'm just really tired of that. You know, that's also the tricky thing when it comes to doing something that you love for a living, because then you're not only doing it because you love it, but there's this aspect of I have to make enough money to pay my bills. And I just really, to be very frank with you, want to take a break from that. I just want to have some secure income on the side. And then I want to dance and see everything that comes from Femme Confidence or all the other things as an extra rather than having to rely on how many t-shirts I sell per month. You know what I mean? Then next to this, there's work-life balance or lack of it, actually, because I have learned that a lot of freelancers, so it's not just me, have huge difficulty separating work from personal life, which can lead to burnout. And to me, that is such a big issue because girl, I work nonstop. I open my eyes and the first thing I think is work. Like, okay, how are we going to promote the event so that it reaches people who I know would be interested? And then next to this, as you might know, I have ADHD, so my brain just freaking never stops. Even if I want it to be quiet, it just won't shut the fuck up. So a lot of times I'm just in my bed and then my brain is like, what if we organize this workshop? Oh, would people like it? Oh, where are we going to go for a retreat next year? Portugal, but maybe Greece. Huh, I wish I could go for a retreat like outside of Europe. And this is going non-freaking-stop. The only moment where my brain goes quiet is when I dance. And this is why I need dancing in my life so bad. And that leads me to another point, which is the fact that I don't have enough time to dance, which makes me feel very depressed because, you know, I don't have enough financial resources yet to outsource everything. I already have some help, which is social media manager and Amber. But first of all, I cannot delegate certain things to them because they won't read my mind. They won't know how I want it unless I explain it to them. And also, yeah, I don't make 10K a month of Femme Confidence to be able to outsource everything and pay my employees. And one thing about me is that I hate charity work and favors. So, and also I'm not somebody who would be using people because, yeah, it's just really not in my nature, you guys. So it would be very difficult for me or actually literally impossible to find somebody who would be just doing things for me for free because that doesn't feel right for me. Another thing that contributes to freelance depression, according to ChatGPT, so I guess like a better sister of Google, is lack of structure. And that's another thing that I struggle a lot. I am trying to every Monday plan my week and kind of schedule when is my content creation day, when is Femme Confidence event office day, when am I going to do my merch orders and merch sending. But, you know, it still sometimes varies. And also the problem with me is that I focus the best in the evenings. So When I was studying at the university, I noticed a huge pattern about myself that when I have to study for an exam, this is what it looks like. This is what my day looks like. I wake up in the morning around 9:30. I can't wake up earlier unless I really have to be somewhere. I really try and it's just impossible for me. So 9:30 is when I wake up. Okay, then I'm having a breakfast. You know, if I can, I will take it slow in the morning. Let me take a sip of water, you guys. I'm sorry. So, okay, I will take it slow in the morning. I'll have my coffee, la, 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 la. Okay, it's 12 and I will sit down to study, right? Or to work. And then I literally need like 3 hours to fall into this kind of rhythm. So it's 3 and I'm finally focused and working or studying. And if I don't have anything planned in the evening, like classes or something, it's fine, you know? I can like really hyper-focus, again, ADHD, and like work till 2 a.m. and be super efficient. But here's a little pickle. I'm a dance teacher, right? So at my university and also now, it always messed up with my focus because it's 3. But then at 4:30, I would have to leave for classes. So then I would barely get anything done, you know? And yeah, lack of this structure really is impacting me. And yeah, it's just very frustrating because I can be truly productive only on days when I don't teach classes. So yeah, and you know, a lot of people will be like, okay, Nicole, but you know, you can focus better and you can, I don't know, meditate and do a to-do list. Girl, I'm 32. I really tried. I've been in therapy for 2 years. And the bottom line is that the only thing that will work for me, I don't know about other people, is just knowing myself and yeah, adjusting it as much as possible to how I am and to my default. Yeah. And another thing is that I usually sleep quite late, as in like 1 or 2 a.m. in the morning. And that's why I do wake up at 9:30. It's not like I'm sleeping 12 hours a day, is just my rhythm. So that's why I'm looking forward to have a part-time job, because I know from my own experience, I already had this kind of situation in the past where I was working part-time, that yeah, it just brings this structure a little bit, like, you know for sure that you're working on Thursday and Friday, so then you kind of can plan a week around that. And I also really like it that it's kind of planned for me, so I can't move it around even if something comes up, because as a freelancer, that's what you can do, right? I'm sorry, I don't know if you heard it. And another thing is pressure. So you being responsible for finding and maintaining work, and that is also sometimes very overwhelming. Like, for instance, this is what I have with the event right now. I'm not going to lie to you guys. Like I said, it's a voice message to my besties. So I'm going to share with you all my worries, concerns that I'm dealing with right now. Who knows, maybe in a week it's going to be a better day and I'm going to forget about those. But right now, Femme Confidence XL is stressing me. So the tickets are going pretty good. We are almost out of the costs. But the thing is that being almost out of the costs is not enough, because the workload I'm putting into it and, you know, the money that I will have to pay people working for us and, yeah, just all these shenanigans around it is just not enough. And this ticket sale has flatlined right now. And I understand that it's holidays and that people just get out from the summer and they are going to plan their expenses for November, probably at the end of September. Like, I also know how it went with last editions and what were the trends, but still, you don't have the security that people will buy the tickets. And you know, right now there's also so many other events happening. So yeah, that gives me a lot of stress and creates this pressure, and it's just not nice. Like, it makes me sad, to be very honest, because I really love organizing this event in the sense of I love putting it together. And you know, when I choose the teachers and when I make the schedule, I'm literally trying to create a dream event for myself that I would really love. So obviously I do choose the dance class that I like, and again, the teachers that I really appreciate as people. And therefore, I do believe in uniqueness of this event because it's really close to my heart and I'm very genuine in creating it. I'm not choosing, for instance, very famous and commercial dance teachers just to attract people if I don't think they will align with my values. You know what I mean? And I combine always the twerk and heels because those are my favorite dance style. And then I add other things that I would love to try myself. And, you know, while doing this, I am hoping that I will attract people who are similar to me. And so far, it seems working. So I really love it. I really love seeing people, the type of people that are showing up for the event, because this is exactly what I vibe with and I like, you know, people who love to dance and who love to support others, who want to express themselves. And seeing it being put together and then seeing people enjoying and growing as a person and gaining more confidence, making new friends, learning something about themselves is so rewarding. So that moment, that's why I'm always breaking into tears at Femme Confidence, because I'm thinking about all this stress that I've been through, all the sleepless nights, all the stomach aches, and then, you know, seeing this happening and people enjoying just makes it worth it. But sometimes I do think like, oh, should I stop maybe with it? Maybe, you know, there's just so much going on right now that people feel overwhelmed and overly, the market might maybe be a little bit overly saturated. But yeah, then I'm like, I don't want to give up because I truly believe in what I'm doing, you know. So I wish that paying teachers and all this financial aspect wasn't really a thing, because then I would just for sure keep on doing it. But yeah, that pressure is just not nice. So all those things that I just mentioned, the isolation, financial insecurity, work-life balance or lack of it, lack of structure and pressure can actually lead to freelancing depression and also a burnout. So this is why my therapist was like, you know what, Nicole, maybe, and I also thought about it myself, because like I said, a few years ago, I actually also had a part-time job and I continued dancing and I really, really liked it. It's just I didn't really like the job itself. But yeah, so my therapist told me that maybe it would be a good idea to just have a little part-time job that is also inspiring and nice, so not like working in a bar, because yeah, then it will solve some of those problems, like having structure, having additional income, having some social contact with people, and will take away a little bit of that pressure. So there we are. Your girl, like I said at the beginning of this podcast, is looking for a job. But the thing is that I don't want like any kind of job. Like I just said, you know, I don't want to work in a bar or at the clothing store. And don't get me wrong, there's nothing wrong about working in a clothing store. Fun fact and side story, I used to work in Zara and I actually really loved it, which is ironic because people always make jokes. I don't know if y'all have seen those TikToks about Zara employees being like super rude. And yeah, I wasn't really one of those, like I wasn't rude, but the truth is that yes, I was annoying avoiding customers because, okay, this side story is going really far, so I hope you can follow. But the reason is, let me maybe give you some insight. So the reason why Zara employees are so rude and they're avoiding eye contact at any cost is because they're super busy. As a Zara employee, your to-do list is so much longer than just keeping the store clean. A lot of times you're also responsible for other stuff behind the scenes and you have to kind of juggle it and combine those two. So when you're trying to do something, for instance, in the stock or something, and you get out to the store and then you have five customers trying to stop you and ask you questions, a lot of times very stupid questions, you just get annoyed, you know. And also this is why everybody's avoiding eye contact with the customers, because here comes another thing, a lot of Zara customers confuse Zara with some high-end store. Like people come in and, you know, for instance, Amsterdam Zara is huge. And there you have some people coming inside and being like, excuse me, I'm looking for a jacket. And then you're like, Well, first of all, you're not looking, you're asking me, and you expect me to find you a jacket. And second of all, this is not a Gucci where I'm going to take your jacket off, serve you some champagne, and walk around with you and show you where do we have jackets, and then lead you to this fitting room where I'm going to sit and give you tips on how to combine the jacket with accessories. You know, girl, no, this is Zara. When I came for an interview, the manager said something I'll never forget. She was like, Zara is not a clothing store, it's a clothing factory. And that is what it is. It's a fast food shop. So you have to, honey boo, find your jacket yourself, you know? And another thing is that Zara in Amsterdam is ultra busy. So again, mind you, if somebody working in Zara has all these things to do, and then you're pulling up being like, oh, do you have it in another size? You're like, oh, fuck me and you. Because yes, technically you're supposed to check with this like little online device that they had there. And then if it's there, you're supposed to go to the stock to get it. But do you know how much time it would take off my hands? So that's the reason. This is why Zara employees avoid eye contact with the customers at any possible costs. And I was definitely one of them. I was like sprinting through the store and not looking anybody in the eye. But also a lot of times I was working just behind the counter, like, you know, checking people out. So that was pretty okay. Unless there was somebody returning some shit. Because let me tell you guys, the audacity that some people have when they return things. Like, look, there's nothing wrong with returning something that didn't fit. You bought it, you change your mind, you're returning it in a nice state with the label on, cool. Or maybe you bought it for a photo shoot or just, you know, to like take a quick picture, cool, you know. But there were people that would like trying to return things that were stinking like cigarettes, would be like twisted and sometimes even stained, and then they would come there with an audacity and lies that they didn't wear it. And I'm like, I mean, you're being rude by lying, but also you're offending me by thinking that I'm so dumb that I'm gonna believe you. And also, who even cares? Like, it's not my store, you know. And Zara has like, or maybe had, I don't know now anymore, but they had like super lenient policy. So obviously, yeah, you had to lie that you wore it, you didn't wear it. But sometimes I was like, girl, you're disgusting. Like, how can it stink so much? But also, who are you trying to lie to? Okay. So all those things, very, very annoying. But I had super nice colleagues and I don't know, it was just vibes. So long story short, I did enjoy working in retail. But the point is, you guys, that first of all, I'm 32, but also second of all, I studied my ass off to get my bachelor degree. And I really worked hard to learn Dutch. So consequently, I would have thought or I would have liked to get a job that matches my education level and my effort level to get my education. And also, you know, I've gained some experience when it comes to teaching, English teaching, even organizing. So I feel like I really, really would love to, I guess everybody would like that, to get a job which would align with my interests and my ambitions for the future. So I don't even remember how I started about that, but let's just stick to that point, is that I really would like a job that is aligned with my passion. So something with even organizing, education, cultural sector, definitely not some random corporate company selling, I don't know, furniture where you have to like be super commercial. Like, I really don't think I could work somewhere where I don't believe in their mission. And yes, we all need furniture, but that's not enough. So I've been applying for some jobs in the cultural sector and in the educational sector, like, you know, office of some universities and some student relations jobs. I just applied for event manager at a cultural institution that's actually a part of the Amsterdam University. So yeah, there are some really cute jobs that I really would like to get, but I presume there is like 150 other people that would like to get it. And here are some hurdles that I have encountered or that I actually have realized are the thing. I think to get a job, like a nice job, look, to get like any job, I don't think it's that hard. I feel like if you're desperate to get any type of job, you might just take a stroll through like the city center and give your CVs in some restaurants and again, retail stores. And I guarantee you within a week, you're gonna have a job if you speak English and don't have a criminal record. But when it comes to this like nicer and more specific jobs, I have realized, or I might have actually always knew this, but I just remembered that it's so important to have connections because let's be honest, most of the times the way those jobs go is that yes, they have to put it out there online. I think it's even a law that when there is a vacancy open, a company has to put it out to public. But the truth is that very likely somebody's going to get it that has a friend in the company or family in the company, and that friend of a family is just going to recommend them to the person who's responsible for the recruitment, and they will just get a chance, you know. So that is kind of painful thing. Or you have to be like ultra very much qualified, be like almost famous in the industry for people to like really wanting to work with you. Like that's how my ex-boyfriend was when he was about to quit his previous job. I don't even know how it works, but you know, people, other companies heard some rumors about my ex being available and they were begging him to work for the company. But yeah, this guy is ultra smart, ultra experienced. He's 43 and all he cares about is his career. So yeah, he's like a celebrity in his industry. So it's either that or this, or you just have to be very lucky, I guess. So this is what I'm relying on. And there are also other things that I am trying to do that my friends have shared with me or that I have seen people doing. And this is how we are moving on to the next part of this podcast, which is tips and tricks on how to apply for a job and increase your chances. I guess I'm not 100% sure yet if those things are working, but I think those are pretty reasonable tips. And like I said, some of my friends did it and it worked for them. So here they come. I'm sorry, you guys. Just another small complaint. I put it out there on my story. But can we please take a moment to think about it? How crazy is that? That actually looking for a job is like a full-time job. And the irony in my situation is that I'm only looking for a part-time job. But right now, I am full-time job kind of thing. Look for a part-time job. Because it's so time-consuming and energy-draining as well. Like, all these motivation letters and, you know, tweaking and adjusting your CV to each job description is just so long, you guys. It's insane. And then next to this, all that rejection that you have to deal with, like you really have to have a thick skin because you might be like applying for some jobs and feel like you're the best fit and you're so excited and you're like, oof, my motivation letter was on the spot. And then sometimes you don't even get an answer and you're like, wow, really? I was speaking about it with my friend Lily and yeah, that's like something you really have to be ready for. And I also started being super active now on LinkedIn, obviously, because, you know, I have a reason. And I also saw like a lot of people posting things like I applied for over 1,000 jobs and I'm not even getting responses. So yeah, if you're looking for a job, embrace yourself. I must say though, today actually I got like a super nice rejection letter from one of the companies that I really wanted to get a job, but I figured that I might not get it because it was full-time and I wrote in my motivation letter that actually I'm only available part-time, but I would be hoping that it wouldn't be a problem, that maybe we can sort it out. And the recruiter actually emailed me back and I see that it was a personal email because he said that my motivation letter was exceptional and he really loved my CV, but unfortunately they really need someone full time. And he also said that I should be keeping eye on their other vacancies because sometimes they also have some part-time ones and they would love to have me on a team. So I was like, okay, that's like a really nice rejection. And I almost thought about like, okay, could I actually do it full time? But no, I could probably not. Anyways, let's get back to the tips. So First tip, I already mentioned it. When you're writing a CV and when you're writing a motivation letter, especially motivation letter, you really have to make sure to point out things that align with the job description. So what I literally did is use the words that they wrote in the requirements in my motivation letter and in my CV, like word to word. So just to give you like a brief example, for instance, if there was in a job requirement that you have to be able to use Canva and make invoices, I would put like use Canva use and invoices making, like literally copy paste their description, because I heard that there is actually now this software, or like, you know, obviously with AI everything gets automated. I don't know the word, you know what I mean? So yeah, sometimes it's not even like a human being who's checking your CV, but there is like a software scanning your CV and they're looking for keywords. So that's first thing that I heard about and I'm trying to do. Also, I'm trying to be like slightly personal in motivation letter. I don't really know if it's a good thing. It's not a tip that I got from anyone, but because I'm trying to apply for jobs that are a little bit mission oriented, one would say, I would be hoping that me being genuine and personal would kind of, I don't know, tap the heart of the person who's reading it. So for instance, I do speak about not being Dutch and having to adapt and learn the language, which actually is a very good skill to have at any job, right? Like, I'm very adaptable and I'm very persistent. I mean, hello, I've learned your difficult and ugly language. Look how great of an asset I can be for your company. But I don't know about that one. Another one that's actually a really, really good one, my friend told me about it and it worked for her, is to, of course, be very active on LinkedIn, put things out there, but also follow people from the companies that she would like to work. So basically what my friend did is she really wanted to work for Daily Paper Company. If you're not from the Netherlands, you might not know it. It's a very cool clothing brand that is from Amsterdam. And she literally added every single person working at Daily Paper on LinkedIn. And it worked for her. When she applied for a job, people, I don't know, I guess somebody might have seen her. So she said that it did help her. And of course, when you're applying for a job, I think it's also a really good job to add people, not only from the company, but also even message the person that's responsible for recruitment. Like, you can write like a short message like, hey, I just saw the vacancy and I just wanted to give you a heads up that I applied and I'm hoping to speak to you soon. XOXO, okay, maybe not XOXO, but like kind regards. Because even if you don't have LinkedIn Premium, you actually can send a short message, like I think 120 signs message. So I do think it helps. And I heard from a friend of mine who is actually responsible for recruitment in one of the companies, that when he gets a LinkedIn message from people who applied, he usually gives them a chance and invites them for interview, because they did that extra mile and, you know, did a little bit more than just sending the CV. And also some of my other friends told me that you actually could even call their company or like the recruiter and, you know, just ask some question, or maybe, I don't know, check if your CV has arrived correctly. And to be fair, I did try to do it today. So like I told you, I applied for this really nice job, which is event manager part-time in a very nice cultural institution. And I was like, okay, let me just do anything I can to make myself visible and increase my chances. So I did send a message to the person that's responsible for recruitment. But then I was like, okay, I'm just going to go there. And I did have a question actually, because they responded to me that their interviews will have place of the week of 9th of September and I'll be on a retreat. So I was like, okay, let me go there and be like, hey, let me show my face and my friendly aura. And then let me ask if there is a chance to have an interview via Zoom if I get invited. So I went there. By the way, it was biking, it was raining as hell, and I was just laughing to myself, like, girl, the commitment I'm doing to get that job is huge. So I'm pulling up there at the reception and I'm saying to a guy, like, yeah, I just wanted to ask a question about the vacancy. He's like, yeah, just send an email. And I was like, well, but I'm here, right? So maybe, I don't know, I can speak to somebody. And because he knew me, because I've been to that place many times before as a customer, he went to the back office, but he was like, yeah, I'm sorry, everybody's on a meeting. So I was like, okay, fine. So then I sent an email and I was like, oh, let me call. And then I called, but turns out the phone number is actually to the reception. So the guy picked it up again. I was like, okay, I guess that's the universe telling me, like, girl, you've done enough. Now leave it in the hands of God or hands of universe. If you follow me on Instagram, you saw me saying that I saw the lady who's responsible for recruitment on Instagram. Her page is open. And I do have a feeling that if she learned about me or if she saw me, she would have liked me, because based on what she's posting, I think it's very much aligned with what I like and who I am. So yeah, long story short, I'm like, girl, you would love me. We would be such a great colleagues. We would have so much banter together. But I was like, okay, I think messaging her on Instagram, or like following her on Instagram, would be overstepping the boundaries and slightly creepy. And I was like, okay, I'm not going to do it. Even though, if you little creeps on my Instagram, most of you voted that I should message her on Instagram. But my gut feeling was like, don't do it. So I didn't do it. Okay, so yeah, reach out to them on LinkedIn and just stalk them through LinkedIn, because LinkedIn is not overstepping boundaries. It's literally a place to link up with people who are in the same industry or, like, you know, in a professional way. I already mentioned it, that you should definitely adjust your CV and tweak it into, like, every single job that you're applying for. Use the keywords. I mentioned that already. And another thing would be, well, that's what also my friend actually told me. If you can't get that dream job, that dream position in the company that you want, maybe it would be a good idea, and this is also what I'm about to do, is to apply for lower position in the company. So let's say you would really like to be an HR assistant. Well, maybe you can start from being the office manager, because then at least you're in a company and then you can prove yourself and grow within the company. And then you already, like, expand that network that we were talking about, right? So next time when that particular company will have an open vacancy in HR department, you are already working there and you are already friends with people working there, and you can be like, hey, I am interested actually. So then you are in, and you are that person that's in that privileged position who has some connections. So it doesn't always have to be rich daddy or, like, family. You can also create your network by, yeah, just getting in the environment through different ways. And yeah, that would be one way. And another thing that my friend did, and that got her a really nice job, was saying, like, staying in touch with the company even if you get rejected. So my friend applied for a job and she got rejected, and then she was really sad. And actually, fun fact, it was advice that I gave her, but she also thought about it herself. So I told her, like, look, just call the person that brought you the bad news and say that you would really, really love to work with them, and that if they have anything open anytime soon, you would really appreciate if they contact you. And they did, like, a month later. And then she got a job, and, you know, she already, her face, or, like, her voice was already familiar in the company. So it's almost like she had a little bit of a network there. And now she has a really nice job. And that brings me to the last point about looking for a job. I don't know if I mentioned it already, is that it's time consuming. Yes, we spoke about it, but also it may take long time. And by long time, I really mean, like, 6 months, maybe even 10 months. That's what I heard a lot from my friends. And I saw them experiencing that finding the job that you actually like, because again, you can get a job that you don't like pretty quick. But if you are career driven, or, you know, you are trying to, like, grow your career and become something that, you know, you plan to become, it might take months and months and thousands of rejections. So embrace yourself and some persistence, say that's actually what I am doing, and just prepare that it might take some time, like a long time, you know. So yeah, that's actually what's been happening. That's my update. Those are my tips. I hope that you enjoyed this episode, this late night talk with Nicole, the bedroom talk special edition. And yeah, let me know what you think. As usual, please, please, please make sure to give me a 5-star review on this podcast. I know that a lot of you message me that it's hella complicated, but come on, girl, you got this. Basically, the way you have to do it is if you look at the podcast and then you look at the screen, somewhere on the right side, you have those three dots. If you click on those mysterious three dots, you're going to see some options. And I think one of them is show reviews or show, I don't know, I only know it in Dutch because my phone is in Dutch. So in Dutch, it says beoordelingen. And then you have to click on it and then you can give somebody a star. Okay, so look for three dots on the like podcast menu. You got this. Other than that, if you're from Amsterdam, join our Femme Confidence event 8, 9, 10 November. And if you're not familiar, I'm going to tag our Femme Confidence page, Instagram page, and website in the description, and you can read about it. And you can also like ask me questions, of course, and I'm happy to respond. Sometimes people cannot DM me, so you have to like maybe try through comments or something. If you're trying to contact me, it's just my Instagram. I didn't do anything with the settings, you guys. It's broken. And once more, I hope that you enjoyed this 45 minutes voice message from your bestie, Nicole, XOXO. And hopefully I'll speak to you soon. I'll be on a retreat next week. On Friday, we're leaving for a Femme Confidence retreat to Spain. Ah, it's the first edition, so it's very exciting, but also nerve-wracking because we have no experience and no clue how it's going to go. I mean, okay, no experience sounds really scary, but you know, obviously we all traveled a lot and we organized some small trips, but never a big one like this. So that's exciting. So I'm not sure if I'm going to have time to record an episode next week, but maybe, who knows, I will sneak out for like an hour, just like now, just to record you some audio. And otherwise I will record you an episode after I come back with the tea, or like, you know, with my review on how it went and what we're gonna do next and what we're going to change. All right, if you're listening to it during the day, have a wonderful day. If you're listening to it in the evening, go to sleep, have sweet dreams, and I'll speak to you soon. Bye.